Hello and welcome. This is Pastor Terry, and I'd like to welcome you to my Bible study podcast. This daily podcast is a place where we take the teachings of Scripture seriously, but ourselves, not so much. Join us as we dive into the sacred word of the Bible, and each time we read, we pray, we change the world. Welcome to Pastor Terry's Bible Study Podcast.
And welcome to today's podcast. It is Thursday, March the 21st, 2024. So glad you guys are on today. Got a little bit of a late jump, so we need to kind of jump into it. But we'll be reading from Exodus chapter 7 today, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and Mark chapter 10. Hope everybody's doing good as we continue to move towards the start of Holy Week, which is Palm Sunday this Sunday. And then, of course, the all the events of next week. So next week is Holy Week. Hope you'll make a point to be with us on Holy Week. So we do daily readings for each of the significant days of Holy Week. Every day pretty much has a lot of significance in the life of Jesus. So, yeah. So thank you guys for being on. Again, we'll next week, Holy Week readings all the way through the week. So that'll be great. And so today is our last one together for the week. And so I hope you have a great weekend. All right, let's do it. Let's jump in. It's first reading is from Exodus chapter 7, verses 25 through 8:19. You know what we do? We read, we pray, we change the world. All right, let's do it. Welcome, everybody. So glad you guys are on. See what the Lord has to say to us today from his word. Exodus 25. I'm not in the right place. There we go. There we go. Exodus 7:25. There is no 7:25. Exodus 7:20. Mine goes 24. Oh, I see. I see what happens. Okay, it's on the chapter 8. 7 days passed after the Lord struck the Nile. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, this is what the Lord says, let my people go so that they may worship me. If you refuse to let them go, I will send a plague of frogs on your whole country. Man, we were, speaking of plagues, when we were camping, there was no-see-ums are bad in South Florida right now. Like, in the Naples area, the no-see-ums are really bad. They just, it's like a swarm. It's like one of the Egyptian plagues, I'm telling you. And they are resilient to all the little antics. Unbelievable. So the Nile, if you refuse to let them go, I will send a plague of frogs on the whole country. The Nile will teem with frogs. They will come up into your palace and your bedroom and on your bed and the houses of your officials and people and in the ovens and your kneading troughs. The frogs will come up on your people and all your officials. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, stretch out your hand with your staff and the streams and the canals and ponds. And make frogs come up on the land of Egypt. So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land. But the magicians did the same things by their secret arts. They also made frogs come up on the land of Egypt. So again, we see the Egyptian magicians are imitating many of these plagues. But we will see, as you continue reading through the book of Exodus, as the plagues increase, they're no longer able to imitate them. But these they can. Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, pray to the Lord to take the frogs away from me. and my people, and I will let your people go to offer sacrifices to the Lord. So Pharaoh's negotiating here, negotiating with the people, or with Moses and Aaron. If you get the Lord to stop these plagues, we'll let you go. We'll let you go. Moses said to Pharaoh, I leave to you the honor of setting the time for me to pray for you and your officials and your people, that you and your houses may be rid of the frogs, except for those that remain in the Nile. Tomorrow. Pharaoh's like, right away. Tomorrow. The topic, we're doing readings through Lent. So the reading today is from Exodus 7, and then we'll jump over in just a second to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and then we'll read a reading out of the Gospels, Mark chapter 10. Moses replied, it will be as you say, so that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. So you see that's the timing of the rescinding of the frogs is also indicative of the hand of God, right? So if they just said, if there was no like definite starting point, then no one would know that it was actually the Lord who did it. So he gives Pharaoh the invitation to set the time. When do you want God to do this? Moses replied, it will be as you say, so that you know that there is no one like the Lord our God. The frogs will leave you and your houses and your officials and your people. They will remain only in the Nile. After Moses and Aaron left Pharaoh, Moses cried out to the Lord about the frogs he had brought on Pharaoh, and the Lord did as Moses asked. The frogs died in the houses and in the courtyards and in the fields, and they were piled into heaps. Ugh. And the land reeked of them. That's disgusting, man. But when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and would not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had said. You know what's interesting is that is, we read that and we're like, man, how could he do that? Like, you know, like how could, after that, surely, come on. But we do this all the time. We do this. This is a very human thing. This is a very human reaction. We get in a pinch. We get in a crisis. We cry out to God. God, help, 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 help. If you'll just get me out of this. If you'll just get me through this. If you'll just help repair this. If you'll just, you know, help me get this job or help me make this happen. And help, if. And then God does it. And what it doesn't make us. Too often, it doesn't make us run to God and become more devoted. We forget it. We move on to the next thing. Then we go right back to what we were doing before with no substantive change in our devotion to God. So Pharaoh's action here is not so uncommon. It's very common, honestly. It's very common because then, you know, what you just play it out. Like what likely was running through Pharaoh's mind? Well, he's probably just saying, well, it's just coincidence. Well, of course. The frogs were eventually going to subside. It couldn't stay that bad forever. So, yeah, so Moses prayed, but it was going to happen anyway. And so they write off the spiritual component and impact of what was happening. Verse 16. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the ground, and throughout the land of Egypt, the dust will become gnats. I wonder if they were like no-see-ums. Maybe that's what happened. Maybe there's a plague of no-see-ums. Anyway, these are gnats, it says. They did this, and Aaron stretched out his hand and the staff and struck the dust of the ground. The gnats came on the people and animals. All the dust throughout the land of Egypt became gnats. But when the magicians tried to produce the gnats by their secret arts, they could not. They've hit their limit. They've hit their limit. They can't. They're struggling now. Since the gnats were on people and animals everywhere, the magician said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. But Pharaoh's heart was hard, and he would not listen, just as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, get up early in the morning and confront Pharaoh as he goes to the river and say to him, this is what the Lord says. Let my people go so that they may worship me. If you do not let my people go, I will send swarms of flies. Now we're the plague of flies. On you and your officials and on your people and into your houses. The house of the Egyptians will be full of flies. Even the ground will be covered with them. But on the day I will deal differently with the... But on that day, I will deal differently with the land of Goshen, where my people live. No swarms of flies will be there, so that you will know that I, the Lord, am in the land. And I will make a distinction between my people and your people. This will be... This sign will occur tomorrow. And the Lord did this. Dense swarms of flies poured into Pharaoh's palace and into the house of his officials throughout Egypt. The land was ruined by flies. Then Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, go sacrifice to your God here in the land. So now, that's where we'll stop today for in Exodus, and before we jump over to 2 Corinthians. So here, now Pharaoh's starting to negotiate, right? Like, okay, you can go, I'll let you worship God, but you can't go anywhere outside of the land to worship God. You got to worship him here. So he's starting to weaken a little bit, but it's still not a deal they're ready to make. All right, let's jump over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 7 through 18. Welcome, everybody. So glad you guys are on as we read these daily readings for Lent. Great to have you. Hope you're doing well. Thank you for subscribing to the podcast. Subscribe to the channel. That way, you know, every time we go live. Appreciate that. Generally 4 days a week, Monday through Thursday. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 7 through 18. Now, if the ministry that brought death was engraved in letters of stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory. It's talking about the law, right? The law that was given to Moses, and it came with glory, with power, with the presence of God. The glory, as we've said before, is what emanates from the presence of God. It's the weight of his presence. It's all that emanates from being in his presence. That, in some ways, it's hard to articulate what glory is. You more experience the glory of the Lord than is it possible to explain the glory of the Lord, other than just to say it's what emanates from the presence of God. What emanates from the presence of God has significant effects on things. It changed Moses' face white, right? Like, I mean, it has power. It causes people to bow and worship. I mean, you feel it. It's the weight of his presence, the weight of his glory. So he's saying Paul is writing and saying the law itself had glory, so much faith, so that it changed the face of Moses because of its glory, transitory though it was. Will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that brought condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? Yeah, so the law revealed sinfulness. It was not the remedy for sin. It was not the remedy for broken relationship with God. It just revealed that there was a broken relationship with God. It revealed the seriousness of sin. It set parameters around human brokenness and fallenness so that people and communities could survive and thrive. But it was not, it didn't take away the sin in a individual's life. So, so he's saying if that was glorious, it's like an x-ray, right? X-ray doesn't fix anything. It reveals the problem. So the law was an x-ray. It revealed the problem. But it didn't fix anything. But there was a certain amount of glory in that. There was a certain amount of power in that. It was a beautiful thing. It's a helpful thing. How much more, if that's helpful and glorious, how much more the medicine that actually is going to take away the ailment? If great is the means that reveals the problem, how much even greater is that which heals the problem? One thing reveals the problem, the other thing heals the problem. So the law revealed the problem, the gospel heals the problem by providing righteousness. Verse 10, for what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. So there's a greater glory. And if what was transitory came with glory, how much greater is the glory that lasts? So it lasts forever. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. So what's the covenant? They don't, Jesus. The veil is a blindness to who Jesus is. Verse 14, but their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Christ is the fullness of all of the Old Testament. He's the fullness of the covenant. He's the fullness of the prophecies. He's the fullness of the sacrificial temple system. He's the fullness of the law. Christ is yes and amen to all the promises of God. Yeah, he is. Christ, in Christ, all the promises of God are yes and amen. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Man, aren't you glad? Where the Spirit of, no matter where you are, if the Spirit of the Lord is there with you, there is freedom, because it's in your heart, it's inside of you. Where the Spirit, no matter where they put your body, where the Spirit of the Lord is, if the Spirit of God dwells in you, wherever you are, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. In your workplace, in your school, in your community, in your home, no matter what the situation, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory. Let me read that all together. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So as we behold his glory, as we abide in his presence, with unveiled faces, just as we are transformed with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is a Spirit. So being in the Lord's presence, simply put, it changes us from glory to glory. We are changed. Like Moses' face literally was transformed, was bleached white by the glory of the Lord, by the radiance of his presence. So we too, when we are in the Lord's presence, are spiritually, we are being renewed. We are being changed. And sometimes we don't always see that because it's incremental. But the more time we spend with the Lord, right? The more time we spend with the Lord, the more there's a transformation that happens. We're transformed into his image. We become more like him, because what we worship is what we become like. We become like what we worship. And as we behold, as we worship the Lord God Almighty through the Spirit of Christ, we become more like that. We start to emulate, and we begin to look like the characters, the characteristics of the holy God that we worship. I love those verses, man. That with unveiled faces, we contemplate the Lord's glory. We're being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And there is power. There is power in the presence of Jesus, man. Amen. More people become more like Jesus. And so what we want to, we want more people to be in the presence of God. Why? Because when people are in the presence of God, whether they know it or not, there is a transformation that happens. When their heart is open, and sometimes even when their heart isn't open, if they just come innocently enough, being in the Lord's presence is transformation. It changes us. It really does. All right, let's jump over to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 10, 17 through 31. 10, 17 through 31. Thanks, everybody. So glad to have you guys on. Thanks for subscribing to the YouTube channel. Appreciate that. 17 through 20, what did I say? It's amazing how quickly I forget what I say. 31, 17 to 31. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him, fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" That's a good question. I mean, that's the right question, right? I mean, maybe you're on here today. You're like, that's a great question. What do I do to inherit eternal life? So Jesus said, "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered, "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." So what is Jesus saying? Jesus is referring to the Ten Commandments. Good morning, Dan. What's up, man? So he's saying, the guy asked, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus says, first of all, why do you call me good? Because if you're calling me good, that's a attribute given only to God, because God is the ultimate one who is good. So are you willing then to receive me as God? But he says, but you know the commandments. Keep the Ten Commandments. Verse 20, "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." And Jesus looked at him and loved him. And that's a beautiful thing, right? Like Jesus loves this guy. He's not looking to condemn him. He knows that this guy really, you know, he's trying to figure it out. Look, the good thing to know is, like, if you're trying to figure it out, and you have friends that are just trying to figure it out, it's good to be reminded that God loves you. God loves them. He genuinely loves them. And so he sees this young man. He's like, "Yeah, man." Verse 21, Jesus looked at him and loved him, and he said, "One thing you lack. Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. Wow. That's a poignant question or comment, isn't it? Like, the one thing you lack. Wow. Like, in our own lives, now maybe you're a Christian, but is there one thing that is keeping you from going to the next level in your spiritual life? A next level of devotion. Like, there's one thing you haven't yet surrendered. If you would just surrender that one, and we all know what it is. That one thing, you know what it is. And you're having trouble laying it down. For some, it's a situation that is actually keeping them out of the kingdom of God, that they're not coming to Jesus because of that one thing. But often, the life of discipleship is often surrendering continually that one thing that continues to bubble to the surface of our lives that we have to lay down. Maybe it's our pride, maybe it's our ego, maybe it's our financial security, maybe it's our, I don't know what it is. But laying that one thing down. And so this young man, he's like, one thing you left. I feel like that's not a bad score. He's like, there's only 25 things you lack. No, the young man, he's like, there's only one thing you lack, man. You are so close. Jesus is like, man, he loves this young man. He's like, you are so, so close. There's just one thing that's keeping you from the glory. There's one thing that's keeping you from experiencing the full radiance of the glory of the Lord by entering into the kingdom of God, and it's this. Materialism has captured your heart. Materialism has captured your heart. And you've got to be willing to lay down your riches. And verse 22, at this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. It's true, man. Because, you know, you look at the United States. I mean, there's so many people that have so much affluence and so much money that they never really deal with the poverty of their spirit. Because money and stuff fills their time, and they turn to those things first before they really turn to the Lord. And that's why it's hard. There's a deceitfulness of riches that gives you a false sense of security, gives you a false sense of being bulletproof, gives you a false sense of superiority, gives you a false sense of living forever, being eternal. It's not. It's temporal. Jesus' disciples were amazed at his words. Why? Because in their mind, this was the picture of what you should be. This guy's got everything, right? Rich, young, smart, moral, powerful. Like, he's got it all going on. And Jesus says, this guy's so close, but he's not. He's got to do something about this love of money. The disciples were amazed at his words. They looked around. And Jesus said, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Verse 24, the disciples were amazed at these words, but Jesus again said, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, then who can be saved? If this guy can't make it, do we have any chance? Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Then Peter spoke up. We've left everything to follow you. Verse 29. Truly I tell you, Jesus replied, no one who has left homes or home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. Jesus is saying, trust me, following me was well worth it. You may have to give up some things here in this life, but you'll be given many more things, not only in this present life, but in the life to come. And primarily, you're given a relationship with God that is eternal. You'll have eternity with him forever. And in light of that, anything you surrender here is incomparable. It is not even worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. And that's the promise we have as children of God, that this light and momentary suffering is not worthy of comparing to that which will be revealed in us when we see Christ face to face. His glory, man, that's his glory that transforms us. So that's why we do this, because being in his presence, reading his word, spending time with him daily and also collectively with the people of God in worship, it transforms us. It renews us day by day by day. So whether we know it or not, right now, we're being transformed. Let's pray, guys. Lord, thank you so much for your goodness and grace. Thank you for the power of your word. Thank you for my friends and the privilege that we've had to be together today. May you bless and encourage and strengthen each and every one. May your grace and peace be upon them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you, my friends. Thank you guys so much for being on today. Thank you for spending some time in the Word of God. I hope you guys have a fantastic day. Thank you for subscribing to the YouTube channel. Really appreciate that. We're usually on 4 days a week, so we'll be back at it on Monday for Holy Week. Hope you'll spend some time with us. Let's learn and retrace the feet of Jesus next week together. You guys have a fantastic day. Hope you have a great Palm Sunday coming up this weekend. You guys are the best. Love you guys. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Thank you for joining me on today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. If this episode has been an encouragement to you, take a minute to subscribe or comment or share it with your friends. You can find me, Pastor Terry, and Bayside Church on all social media platforms. You can find Bayside at Bayside Church SH. Until next time, remember, God's word is true. Everything else is merely commentary. God bless you. We'll see you next time.